The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. EDT on Sunday, September 15th, 2019, and thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 14. After tonight, there will be two episodes left in Season 5. Season 5 did the traditional 50-50 split season, with the first 8 episodes that ran until July 21st. After the mid-season finale, Fear underwent a short break. The back half of the season will run its Season 5 finale on September 29th, ahead of The Walking Dead's expected October 6th, Season 10 premiere. Typically, we start the show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. We'll take a quick peek in the chat. And not only is Joan here, but our benevolent dictator, I'm just kidding, the head of NDB Media, Roger Noriega, has decided to join us tonight. So let's give both of them some welcome applause. Thank you guys for being here. So we've got a twofer tonight, which is absolutely marvelous. I'm very happy to see that. So our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 at any time during the show, but especially we encourage you between 8:30 and 9 p.m. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat freely on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as go back and download the episode after the fact. And we post the links for that on Facebook, on our page, and on my personal page as well as Twitter. So feel free to grab the link. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, like these fine people are doing, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. All right, let's check in the chat room. Yes, Roger, we have applause sound effects there under K for the sound effects that I brought, and you are welcome to use them. Joan says, good evening, and this is all fun. We have lots of sound effects. Let's say we have this applause. And we have a little bitty applause. Just something. All righty. So episode 14 is called Today and Tomorrow. The official AMC synopsis is, an encounter with a survivor sends Al and Morgan on a mission into a dangerous settlement. There, Al chases a lead while Morgan has an epiphany. Elsewhere, Grace and Daniel make a connection. And as we often do with this show, I have additional synopses that I have queued up for you guys. So let me pull the first one up for you. This is Fear the Walking Dead live stream today and tomorrow, and this is from Fansided at undeadwalking.com by Sarah Beth Pollock. And this is the live stream version. There's also a synopsis version that's a different article, and I'll read that to you in a minute. Alrighty. So Sarah Beth says, Morgan's world is about to get even bigger as he and Al have an encounter with the Pioneers in this week's all-new episode of Fear the Walking Dead. In Today and Tomorrow, Morgan and Al meet someone with connections to Ginny and the Pioneers, but will Ginny be happy to meet them? The Fear the Walking Dead world just got bigger as the Pioneers rolled into town. By their account, they've been spreading their influence all over the place, but it's unclear as to where they came from. We can assume that they came from the East because most of our current survivors came from the West. Personally, as a side note, I'm not really sure that's necessarily great logic, but we'll go with it for now. Okay, back to the article. But what do they want? Are they future thinking as they claim to be, or are they living for the now? It's hard to tell, given they killed Logan and his people without hesitation, while also preaching that they want to help people. Hopefully we'll learn more about this mysterious group this week, and the synopsis, which I've already read you, so we don't need to do that one. And I'll queue up the next synopsis. I'm going to check our chat room and see if anybody has anything they'd like to add. Roger thinks I'm showing off because I have three, count them, three different applause waves. And I'm happy to share. You may help yourself at any time. They are all under K-applause. So let's get back to the article. And the next one that I have for you is also by Sarah Beth, also at fansided at undeadwalking.com. And this one is just the synopsis version. And in this particular one that she did a day ago, she says, after Ginny and the Pioneers made their debut in last week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead, the fallout from the meeting continues as Morgan and Al work on one mission, while Grace and Daniel find themselves on a very different kind of mission. In Today and Tomorrow, a chance encounter leads Al and Morgan into the heart of the Pioneers compound. But what will happen when Morgan meets Ginny? At this point, Al and Morgan don't know what's happened at the oil fields. Remember, guys, they've been away. So they don't know what to make of these strangers. Morgan's experience back in Alexandria made him a very interesting observer of Ginny and her strange ways. Will his past inform his future? Meanwhile, Grace and Daniel take Skidmark, and by the way, Roger, that's the cat, on a supply run when things go awry. However, the duo and their feline companion end up running into trouble, Kelsa Priest, and that leads to an opportunity to learn more about each other. The introduction of Ginny and her people have paved the way for exciting new stories on Fear the Walking Dead. Her mission isn't much different from that of Morgan's group, namely to help people, quote unquote, but it's their methods that draw the biggest criticism. However, now that they've met, will they be able to exist together, or will their detente end in tragedy? And again, the synopsis, which I've already read you, so we don't need to do that again. Roger already knew about the cat. Okay, just making sure. Okay, so that is the end of the stuff in that synopsis. So let me go to the third one. And this one is actually an article about the current plot. Fear the Walking Dead, Luciana's sacrifice is a gamble for those who were paying attention to last week's episode at the end where she decided that she was going to offer to help Ginny's new pioneers with the oil field since they went and burned Clayton's notebooks. This one is also from Sarah Beth, fansided at undeadwalking.com. This was just written 13 hours ago, so she got up this morning and did this one. All right, she says, in Fear the Walking Dead episode, Leave What You Don't, that was last week, Luciana made a huge sacrifice to save her friends, but it was also a huge gamble. Luciana made the brave decision to stay behind and Fear the Walking Dead, Leave What You Don't. It was a move designed to allow her friends a chance to escape from Ginny and the Pioneers, and it was nothing short of noble. However, it was also a huge gamble. The Pioneers, or the Settlers, if you will, are the newest threat to the Fear the Walking Dead universe. It turns out that Logan was working to get the gas for them, and once they found the oil fields themselves, they didn't need him anymore. However, they needed someone who knew how to make the gas, and when no one wanted to join them, it looked like things were about to get bloody. That's when Luciana stepped in. On the one hand, it's not surprising that after spending three seasons trying to find a place to fit in, Luciana finally feels like she has a family to protect again. She lost her adopted La Colonia family during the border skirmish, and then she lost Nick after he was shot. Luciana spent much of season 5 working to gain the trust of Dylan, his siblings, and the other kids from Camp Cackleberry. Choosing to stay behind with the Pioneers ensures that the kids will be safe. Although, okay, that's interesting, because if you guys remember, I had remarked at the end of that episode on this show that I thought it was strange that they only took 3 vehicles. How the hell would they ever get the kids out? Now we know it is, I apologize, it's a bit of a spoiler, but it is official materials that are available. We now know that the kids didn't leave with them. So apparently this may have something to do with ensuring that they are not going to be mistreated if they stay behind, which is apparently what they've gone and done. Okay, so choosing to stay behind with the Pioneers ensures that the kids will be safe, and that's very much in line with Luciana's morals. On the other hand, choosing to stay behind is a huge gamble. Once the Pioneers know how to make gas themselves, they won't necessarily need Luciana anymore, and we all know what happens to people when they're not useful anymore. Pew, pew, pew. But there's more to it. In choosing to remain with the Pioneers, Luciana is getting all kinds of great intel from them. This inside information could be useful down the road, provided that she can escape or that her friends try to get her back. And that leads us to the big question, will her friends be able to rescue her? Jenny seems like a reasonable person. Sarah Beth, I have to beg to differ. Sorry. But she wants the gas. While there's always a possibility that she might let Luciana go after she teaches them to make gas, perhaps as a token of good faith, she might not let her go. Either way, Luciana's decision to remain behind with the Pioneers was a noble effort, but it's also a big gamble. And we can only hope she makes it back to the rest of her friends unscathed. And I have to remark, here's something to chew on. And Joan, you're really good at this, so I'm going to definitely ask you to chew on this one. Why the hell is Jenny pressed for gas when they're all on horseback? What are they going to do with it? And Joan has said, still wondering why the kids are the ones making the gas. I'm not actually sure that the kids were. I thought they were just being protected at Camp Tank Town, or whatever they wanted to call it, you know, Tank Town. The adults were making the fuel mostly. I think some of the older kids might have been helping, but I don't really know. I didn't see the kids laboring unless I missed something in that scene, but fair enough. But I'm curious about your thoughts. Why would Jenny be so damn pressed about this gas when it seems like they're going literally back to the Pioneer days? And they're already in the horseback scenario that we're seeing on the Walking Dead classic. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what the heck they need with the gas that's so important, because it's clearly not for the trucks that they're not driving around in. So we will see about that one. And let's see. The next article that I have for you guys is Fear the Walking Dead opening minutes call back to first episode of The Walking Dead. That will be very interesting. I did not see the preview. Previews are available the day of. Sometimes I'll take a peek and sometimes I won't. I usually don't talk about it, but this is out in the wild. So this one is from comicbook.com, from Cameron Bolomono, who is their main author regarding this series. And it's Fear the Walking Dead. Oh, yeah. Fear the Walking Dead opening minutes call back to first episode. I already said that. So let's go ahead and read this out for you guys. It's 8:43. We've got plenty of time here, so let's dive in. Morgan opens up about his late wife in the opening minutes of Fear the Walking Dead 514, Today and Tomorrow. In video footage captured by documentarian Althea, Morgan recounts his first date with Jenny and their small wedding before recalling happy memories of son Dwayne, remembered as a comic book fanatic and a terrible baseball player who was the best of both of us. After playing back the tape, and interesting that she has the tape, considering we know what happened to most of the tapes. So I'm a little curious if they got them back after the skirmish with Logan. Not really sure. Morgan convinces Al to stay out and distribute more care packages despite running low on gas, a situation that will bring the pair into a dangerous predicament, as you would expect it to. Morgan's family was last seen in the first episode of The Walking Dead, where a tearful Morgan couldn't bring himself to put down his zombified wife, an early casualty of an apocalypse in its infancy. Sometime after parting ways with new ally Rick Grimes, Morgan would be devastated when his Walker wife attacked and killed Dwayne. Driven mad by the trauma, a paranoid Morgan would later reconnect with Rick in The Walking Dead episode 12, season 3, Clear. There, Rick was forced to fend off an attack from a crazed Morgan, at the time a loner holed up in a booby-trapped apartment. After Eastman mentored Morgan in the ways of Aikido and helped him calm his bloodlust, Morgan would adopt a pacifist philosophy rooted in altruism. That philosophy now unites his Texas-based group of survivors in fear. He'll next have to wrestle with his unresolved feelings over Jenny and Dwayne's deaths before he'll be able to move towards a healthy future that could involve a romantic relationship with Grace. Quote, Morgan has had such a difficult journey over on The Walking Dead and now on Fear. His reaction to losing his son and seeing his wife as a walker kill his son, that sent him to a very dark place, showrunner Andrew Chambliss recently told TV Insider. I think in his journey with Eastman and then coming over to Fear and forging a makeshift family, he's in a place where he feels he has that violence under control. In an earlier confessional recorded by Al, Morgan admitted a hesitation in saying goodbye to his family. In Sundays, Today and Tomorrow, that's tonight, Morgan will reach an epiphany that could end a storyline started in The Walking Dead's pilot episode in 2010. Quote, when we hear him talking about Jenny and Dwayne, I think he's realizing he hasn't grieved for them. And that's what he means when he says he hasn't said goodbye. He knows that what he needs to do so that he really look into the future, Chambliss said. The journey he's going to find himself on in the back half of the season is really grappling with what it means to say goodbye, how he can say goodbye, and whether it's something he wants to do. That's something we'll be seeing a lot more of as we continue this season. End of quote, end of article. Let's check our chat room. And a couple people have some comments. Joan has said, still wondering why, we already covered that one, why the kids are wondering, making the gasp. Joan says that she definitely saw the kids working last week and didn't really see many adults. Okay, that's fair. I was going back and forth between the screen and the computer. And she mentioned it, that's a very good point. Hope it's not another glaring inconsistency in the show. To which point were you referring when you say this, Joan? Because I mentioned quite a few things before I switched back to the chat room. So if you can let me know what that was too, I can kind of map it up to what we were talking about. Let's see, and Roger's still quiet. We can give him a little more applause because he seems to like that one. All right. It's 8:47. I've got one more synopsis/preview type article for you guys about tonight's plot. This one is from bleedingcool.com, another one of our regular sources, by Ray Fluke, their regular writer. And this is Fear the Walking Dead, Today and Tomorrow, Who's Hunting Morgan and Althea? And this may be a mild plot spoiler, but it is appearing in official promo materials. So these are things that AMC itself has spoiled, basically. Okay, and as an eccentricity of this particular source, they have that same paragraph that I keep accidentally reading you guys. So I'm going to skip that because I now realize it's there every week, and we're going to go down to the next part, which is about tonight. So here's what we have to say about next episode, Today and Tomorrow, between Isabel, CRM, Ginny's, quote, militia, and this, quote, new group that was mentioned by the woman Wes saves last episode. Either they're all connected or this zombie apocalypse is hell of a lot more crowded than we first thought. And some of those folks are hunting for Althea and Morgan in the following preview. And there's a clip of the preview, but of course you guys will have to go see that on your own on YouTube. In the opening minutes of the episode, we're putting all of the intensity aside for a moment to appreciate Althea being able to get Morgan to do the unthinkable, open up about his past. From learning that he met his wife Jenny in Raleigh, North Carolina, and that she is a fear water, to Morgan's emotional reveal of Dwayne's love of baseball and comic books, the scene is a heart crusher, especially for fans who've been with the Walking Dead universe since the beginning. Speaking. All right, so they have a copy of that clip. And this is in the promo, so this is one of the things he says. My boy Dwayne, he was the best of both of us. You grow up and you think that you know what life is, that you've seen the patterns, and the cliches are pretty much true. And then you have a child, and it reframes everything that everybody knows. As for Althea, no longer quoting from Morgan, obviously, we're thinking she needs to start talking, and she needs to start with Morgan. And we're hoping from the preview images throughout this article that it's going to happen this week through new survivors and a new threat, though new survivors and a new threat just might table that. Meanwhile, Grace, Daniel, and Skidmark spend a little quality time together when they're forced to become the walking living. And we know Ginny's going to factor into all of this, right? And let's skip down and see if there's anything more to the article. And then the rest is just video clips, so that's fine. And that is the rest of that. It is 8:50, so we got about 10 minutes. Going to check the chat room real quick. Roger has mentioned that he's on a delayed feed, so he's just listening and not really commenting. He will go driving later this evening. Okay, cool. Well, we are delighted to have you in whatever capacity that ends up. And Joan has reminded me that what she was talking about, that she's not sure she's on board with his rehashing and working on his past yet again. And the horses and the need for gas, that point. Yes, Joan apparently agrees with me that it's kind of odd that Jenny and them are obviously horsebound, as the guys in Walking Dead Classic have been doing, because they're trying to get them lined up on a similar timeline again after ruining it for a while. And so they're obsessing on gas, but they don't seem to be doing anything where gas matters. So obviously there's another plot device that hasn't come out yet. We do have 2 episodes left, so we never know, but we are building to the season finale. So they got to do something. And then the Walking Dead Classic is going to be back right after that, right on its heels. Okay, that's fair. So we do have 10 minutes. We'll go back to my notes and see what we can get out before we have to go dark, and then we'll do some in-between stuff. So, cast birthdays this week. Aldous Hodge, who played Mike, which was one of Michonne's pets, the boyfriend, his birthday is September 20th, and he's from Onslow County, North Carolina. Jonathan Edward John Barenthal, who played Shane, his birthday is also September 20th, and he's from Washington, D.C., local boy. Awesome. Christian Serratos, who's Rosita, her birthday is September 21st, and she's from Pasadena, California. And by the way, she's much younger than I realized. She's actually my daughter's age. Amazing. Larry Gilliard Jr. played Bob at the prison and in Terminus. His birthday is September 22nd, and he is from New York City. So let's give them all some happy birthday applause. Thank you guys for your work on the show. Oh, yes. Notice mentioned we have to look out for the penultimate episode next week, because now we know that means the next to the end. Oh, my God. With that word, it's going to be on, like, all of the synopses articles. It's probably going to be on, like, every single one. Okay, tonight's episode was written by Richard Nang and David Johnson and directed by Sydney Freeland. So let's do our bios on the writers and directors. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, his name changed professionally in spring of 2018, began writing plays in the second grade and wrote his first screenplay at age 19. Johnson attended Ohio State University in Columbus and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Photography and Cinema. Currently, Johnson lives in Burbank with his wife, screenwriter Kimberly Lofstrom Johnson, and their son Samuel. Johnson McGoldrick began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. Johnson spent the next 5 years as Darabont's assistant, using the opportunity to hone his craft as a screenwriter. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie that came out back in December 2018, which did so well that back in February 2019, he had already been hired to pen the script for the Aquaman sequel due out in 2022. He wrote the script for 2016 sequel The Conjuring 2 and was brought back to work on current new sequel The Conjuring 3 slated for 2020. He is also listed as a main writer for the Nightmare on Elm Street 2020 reboot. Other future projects include a Dungeons and Dragons movie slated for November 2021, and another remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers slated for 2022. David has been involved with Walking Dead since 2011. He started as a writer for Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, and has written 119 episodes of The Walking Dead before tonight, the last one previous being Season 9, Episode 13, Choke Point. He also has story by and teleplay by credits for 2017's Season 8, Episode 5, The Big Scary You. He's been a consulting producer for the entirety of Season 8 and now into Season 9. Tonight is his 13th episode written for the overall Walking Dead franchise, starting with Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, his 14th if you count The Big Scary You along with it, and his second one that he's written for Fear. Co-writer Richard Nang attended the Landon School in Bethesda, Maryland. He later got a BA in Journalism and Mass Communication at NYU from 2002 to 2006. He currently lives in L.A. He has credits under Richard W. Nang, but likely does not use that name to avoid confusion with a high-ranking real estate exec with that exact same name. His LinkedIn profile says his name is Richard A. Nang. I do not know how to reconcile this. It's not mentioned on the internet. Previously, Nang was co-executive producer for Behind the Mask, a TV documentary on sports mascots. He was formerly a development executive at Occupant Entertainment, who did BTM, Behind the Mask, and worked with them from 2009 to 2013. Nang was also one of three writers for the upcoming 2019 movie, Eli. Synopsis: a boy receiving treatment for his autoimmune disorder discovers the house he's living in isn't as safe as he thought. Included in the 2015 blacklist for top unproduced screenplays, on December 13, 2018, it was announced that Netflix purchased the rights of Eli from Paramount. He was executive story editor for all of Season 4 of Fear and has now been co-producer for all of Season 5. Season 4, Episode 6, Just in Case, was his first full writer's credit for the show. He co-wrote Season 4, Episode 13, Blackjack, with co-showrunner Ian Goldberg. Tonight's episode is his fourth episode written for the franchise so far. Director Sidney Freeland was born on October 29, 1980, in Gallup, New Mexico. She's known for her work on Drunktown's Finest in 2014, Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train in 2017, and Hoverboard 2012. Other shows she is known for are Impulse, Chambers, Her Story, Grey's Anatomy, and Heathers, the TV series. She has won 6 awards and 4 additional noms, and probably after I do her bio, we're going to need to go dark. So here are her awards and nominations. Sundance Film Festival 2014, nom for Drunktown's Finest, 2017 nom for Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train. Nashville Film Festival 2014 nom for Drunktown's Finest. LA Outfest 2014 winner for both HBO Outstanding First Narrative Feature and Outstanding American Narrative Feature for Drunktown's Finest. Heartland International Film Festival 2014 winner for Narrative Feature for Drunktown's Finest. Ashland Independent Film Festival 2014 winner of Gerald Hirschfield's ASC Cinematography Award for Narrative Feature, Honorable Mention for Drunktown's Finest. American Indian Film Festival 2014 winner, Best Film for Drunktown's Finest, and nom for Best Director for Drunktown's Finest. Albuquerque Film and Music Experience 2014 winner, Jury Award, Best of New Mexico for Drunktown's Finest. Tonight is her first time working for the Walking Dead franchise in any capacity. I'm going to give all of these guys some applause. Thanks for your work on the show. Joan has a couple quick comments. We're about to go dark. Let me get these in real quick. Regarding Morgan, I felt like they covered his story arc fairly well in the original series. I agree with you. Rehashing it now feels a little bit like obsessing over that damn stick again. Yes, another thing Joan and I agree with has been done too much. And by the way, I have an article I was going to read you guys later, probably not going to get to tonight, but it's an article about how Talking Dead attempted to get some questions for the showrunners of Fear. And the questions that they got were awful. Everybody's really mad at those two right now. This is a perfect example of why. It was why I brought it up. Joan also says, watching the end of last week's episode now, sounds like they may be using the gas to power some other technology, although not sure what. They mentioned needing it to expand and power their expansions and settlements. Parenthetically, I'm still waiting for them all to shoot each other and start over, by the way. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go dark. and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:07 and we are at our first commercial break. I am actually, I'm going to give this a 5-2-5, and it's kind of half begrudging, to be honest with you. Joan is actually starting with a 4. This is unprecedented, and I'm not going to blame her in the slightest, because this is starting off with some of the things that we are fussing about the showrunners for the fear, you know, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, and their obsession with Morgan's obsessions. Morgan talking about Jenny on video again. I'm asking, why is Morgan so obsessed with the boxes and making a difference so far from home base? And Al pulls out her camera, giving them a target while they're looking for them, hiding in the van. I think she's going to get a camera shot, but they did wander off. And Joan's fussing, how long are these people going to live in the past already? So Joan's at a 4. I'm at a 5-2-5, but I am not sure that we're disagreeing with each other, maybe just in our ways of explaining and labeling it. Fair enough. Okay, so that's where we are. I'm going to go ahead and go over to my notes. It's 9:08. We'll see what we can squeeze in before they come back. We're at trivia. Tonight's episode is the 67th episode of the series overall. Co-stars tonight are Craig Moore as the lead horseman. He's a member of Virginia's Pioneers. And Alan Robinson as a writer, who is also a member of Virginia's Pioneers. Uncredited people, Peggy Schott as Tess. She's appearing in voice only tonight. She's the one whose son needed the asthma medicine, and her husband Bob got killed trying to go get it. Raja the cat as Skidmark. And Jen Soule as Virginia's soldier. This is also the first appearance tonight of the character Tom, played by Joe Massengill. Kind of an unfortunate last name, Joe, but okay, Massingill. Preview material suggests he's a man near some cars in the scene tonight and in next week's episode as well. I believe we have just met Joe, who plays Tom. I believe that was Tom in the van with them. Alrighty, last episode trivia. Deaths: Serena in a flashback, Logan, Doris, and 4 unnamed members of Logan's crew. We have not come back yet. We do have a trailer for a Stephen King novel. Which one of them are they remaking? Oh, I don't know this one. Dr. Sleep. See the full trailer on YouTube. I'm not familiar with this story. Now we have a commercial for The Walking Dead Classic, because we've got Alpha and everybody. So let me run some trivia real quick while they're doing that. First appearance of Virginia, Pete, Dom, Janice, first and last of Serena, last of Raleigh, last of Logan, last of Doris. And this episode marks the first time that Wendell, Dylan, Max, and Annie have appeared since the episode Is Anybody Out There? All right. We are now back. I will see you guys at break number 2. And that was a long break to break number two. I'm going to stay at my 525, to be honest. And I'm not sure Joan's going to come up a whole lot. she's been saying something. We're kind of commiserating a little. She's losing hope for this show with the showrunners that are in charge. And then she says, back to looking for a place to settle down since they haven't found them all, Daniel's place, the rabbi's place, et cetera, you know, acceptable places to settle. None of those places were good enough. They're looking for utopia. And I'm getting aggravated with it, too. And, yeah, they are looking for the perfect place. Nobody has it. But they could. They just don't. And Joan is grudgingly going to 5. I'm staying at 525. You know, there's a story going on. It's not horrible, but it's not compelling. And this is very weak writing for something that is an ass hair away from the season finale. There should be more tension building up to something. This is the kind of writing I would expect in episode 3 of the season, not episode 14. Okay, so having said that, I'm going to go back and finish off some trivia. The stuff I didn't get to yet. The episode opens with Logan rushing to help a stranger who contacted him via radio, but he ran out of gas and he had to continue on foot. Later in the episode, Alicia and Strand are doing the exact same thing when they too run out of gas. It also turns out to be happening in the same location. This episode marks the first time that a character who appeared in a previous episode dies since I Lose Myself. There were no goofs, errors, and bloopers listed from any previous episodes. Okay. Featured music, there was none named that anybody identified and posted up there. And unaccounted characters were not doing. Talking Dead is not on until the 29th. Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, the rest of the lineup is only 2 episodes, Episode 68, Season 5, Episode 15, Channel 5, Director David Barrett, Writers Samir Mehta and Michael Alimo, and that is September 22nd, and Season Finale, Episode 69, because I'm 12 years old, Season 5, Episode 16, End of the Line, the director, Walking Dead Rewards, the word tonight is Epiphany. Joan probably already caught that, and I'll check over in the chat in a minute. The season finale is End of the Line. Director is Satro. Writers are showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg. Please do a better job, guys. September 29th. And other upcoming shows on NDB Media include Wednesday, the 18th, coming up, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, 11 p.m. Episode 76 is ADHD MS number part 3 of 3. You're not hallucinating. Last time I did say it was part 2 of 2. We ended up having to go to our first three-parter with this show ever. ADHD has been a pathology that is meaningful to a lot of people, and what we've had to say on the show, we just can't bring ourselves to trim, so we've gone to a three-parter on that. And don't forget to please rejoin us next Sunday, the 22nd, at 8:30 p.m. for Season 5, Episode 15, Channel 5. Next, we have up discussion links, which I will get queued up. I don't know if we'll have time to get to them, but I will start heading down that path and we'll see what I get time to do. So this first episode is, this is from fansideundeadwalking.com. This was actually written 2 months ago. Will Isabel show up again on Fear the Walking Dead? P.S. I'm certain of it. Written by Sonia Arena, and I'm watching the trailers to see if we're... No, we are back, so I'm going to shut up. See you guys at break number 3. Okay. I'm very grudgingly scooting to 5-5 just for additional plot and for Al finally fucking revealing kind of a half hint to Morgan about what she's up to. Joan has commented in between, these showrunners are so intent on trying to tell the story they want to tell, but it feels more and more like they're the only ones who actually care about this story. And Joan had actually mentioned, yes, she had caught the Walking Dead Rewards word and was rewinding to confirm. And so in case anybody else happens to be listening and needs it, the word was epiphany. And Joan says, quote, pulling too much weight in a truck designed to haul freight. What did they do, load it with lead? I don't know what he's got in there. And, yeah, they can carry too much weight, but, I mean, he'd have to have, like, 10 generators in there or something for there to actually be a problem. Joan is scooching up to 525 for Al making connection to the other group. Yes, exactly so, which is kind of why I scooched just a wee bit on my own. Okay, so I will go to this article that I pulled out for you guys and see what I can get out of it before we have to go back. And they say, Isabel is the first named character to appear from the mystery group, and she has a strong connection with Al. Will fans see her again on Fear the Walking Dead? Fear the Walking Dead fans instantly embraced CRM soldier Isabel because she didn't kill Theo when she was supposed to, and because it seems like she could be a good person caught in a tough situation. It's clear that she does believe in whatever CRM's mission is because she did kill her partner when there was a chance her partner would threaten operational security. But she also seems to understand Al's drive to make the stories of the past matter and to try and make sense of what the world has become. She really seemed conflicted about telling Al more about the mission of this mystery group. But in the end, all she revealed was the group is very dangerous and they are working to build the future. Her warnings to Al to leave the story alone indicate that the group doesn't want anyone getting too close to finding out what they're doing, where they are located, and what they know. It makes sense considering the people left in the world aren't always friendly, but this group obviously has a lot of equipment and resources, so why are they so scared of anyone finding them or finding out what they're doing? In the end, Isabel, who should have killed Al for operational security, couldn't kill her. The two went their separate ways, and Isabel got the helicopter flying and headed back to CRM. Will we see Isabel on Fear the Walking Dead again? Our panel has some thoughts. So, yes, this is a panel thread. Okay. Question, do you think we will ever see Isabel again in the Walking Dead universe? And first entrant, Sonia says, I do think we will see Isabel again, but I'm not sure it will be on Fear. I think very possibly she could show up in the films about Rick Grimes, which are probably where we will get the most information about this group. My guess is the information about CRM will be kept to a minimum until the films, so the fans watching will experience the group the way that Rick Grimes does when he's brought there. I think we'll experience that with him in the films, but I definitely think we'll see Isabel again somehow. Sarah says, I definitely do, most likely in the Rick Grimes movies. I think she may have even been in the helicopter that we saw take Jadis and Rick in season 9. Ooh, that could be very interesting. Jeffrey says, I don't think we will see Isabel again in Fear, but I think it's totally possible she will pop back up in the Rick Grimes film trilogy. I think it would be incredible if she was on board the helicopter as Rick is airlifted and flown away. It would be so interesting to see this character that we know a little about be used in introducing a larger group to Rick and the viewers. And we are back, so the last two comments will have to wait. See you guys at the next break. Okay, guys, I think we're at break number 4. Not really sure. I am going to stay at 5-5 because I can't go backwards. I don't know. This whole thing is bugging me. Why they're being so sloppy and why Althea's in there. Because obviously it's not CRM staff in there, so Isabel's not going to be there. So I have no idea why she would risk all of that to not actually find Isabel and to find people who are certainly not going to tell her where Isabel is or even admit any of that. But anyhow, Joan is at 525 still. She has said, I like Morgan, but I'm almost ready for him to get caught and end that I don't die stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of getting that way, too. I'm a little over that line with him. And then she says, as for the truck, it looked mostly empty when they were sitting on the back end with the door open. So I go back to wondering what was so heavy. You know, I don't know. Andrew Chambliss's ego, hard to say. Thank God none of them actually bother ever to listen to my show, but I just went for a cheap shot. I was wondering when they fell in the pool, was her camera in the water? Jonah said, won't matter if the camera went in with her, though. It'll be perfectly fine and in working order when we see it again, I bet. You know, I think so, too, just because that seems to be the way of it. And it's not a camera. It's not waterproof, so I don't know why the heck it would be. Just, you know, fiat. Okay, so going back to the article about Isabel showing up again. We had two more people who were going to comment. Ethan, who said, I do believe we will see Isabel again, either in Fear or even in the Rick movies. She may have possibly been the one who picked up Rick in Season 9, Episode 5. It seems like everybody is saying this. Sarah L. says, unfortunately, as far as TV series go, I don't believe we will ever see her again. However, I do think possibly we could in the Rick movies. Cindy Lemon did such an amazing job that I would honestly be so disappointed if we didn't get to see her as Isabel again. She was so captivating to watch. I agree with what Sarah said. Sydney Lemon almost didn't get credited. Like, at first, some of the promo materials and everything, she wasn't even listed in there. And I think it was a gross misservice, given the amount of attention they gave her character and her plotline. So I'm really hoping we do see her again. I think they have been tight-fisted about CRM and their business because they are holding out for the movies. I agree with that as well. All right. So that is that article. And I'm going to go ahead and pull that off of the pile that I have sitting waiting for you guys. So I try to make sure, if at all possible, not to repeat anything if I can help myself. So I'll put that down there. And then if we get time, I have a next one from UndeadWalking.com from July. That is the factory a lost cause on Fear the Walking Dead? So we will see. We're still on commercial break, so I can maybe tinker with this a tiny bit. It's from Fansided, UndeadWalking.com, from Sonia Arena, from 2 months ago. Fear the Walking Dead crew has lost the factory early this season to Logan, who's the actual owner of it. With everything that's happened, should they just move on or fight for it? And I think this article is still relevant, even if Logan just got killed, because nevertheless, he just got killed. So it'll be interesting to see what the fate of the factory ends up being now. Assuming that the survivors on Fear the Walking Dead can get out of the radiation zone, which they did, and make it back over the mountains to the factory area, which they did, what should they do about Logan? In episode 501, Logan was revealed to be the mysterious person they were trying to help when the plane crashed. He was luring them out so he could take the factory back. We are now back. I will see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, 9:50, break number 6, I believe. Joan has added, the actress that plays Jenny seems stereotyped for psycho roles. I'm trying to decide if I can get behind her as a new villain here. Right now, I really don't like her. And, yeah, there's the camera. And Joan had also added previously, and I'm not sure if I remembered to say that, Rick was picked up in Virginia, and Al found Isabel in Texas. So is the theory that they really travel that far apart? You know, I don't know. And I guess that kind of blows out of the water everybody's little thing in the article just now about Isabel being part of the troop that went and fetched Rick. It would be kind of hard considering the distance in between them. So, yeah, Joan is still at 525. I'm still at 55. This episode is not moving that much. There's not that much compelling that is going on here. Sorry. All right. I have another article that I pulled up for you guys. And we were talking about the factory, the denim factory, and Logan. Okay. With everything that happened to the survivors since then, it might not be worth the fight to try and get it back. Even if they do manage to get the plane working and manage to get safely over the mountains, which they did, they don't have a lot of resources and not really in the shape for a battle, even if the kids, especially if the kids do come with them. They still have the warehouse where Daniel Salazar was living with Skidmark. That place had a lot of supplies and some serious weaponry as well as vehicles. And it has Skidmark, who's proven he's useful. They could use the stuff in that warehouse to mount a battle against Logan, but is the factory worth fighting for? Or should they move on and try to find a new place to set up a safe community for themselves and for the kids? They convince the kids to come along. Our panelists had some thoughts about what the Fear Gang should do about the factory. And again, this is a panel discussion. A fight for the factory. Do you think the group from Fear the Walking Dead will ever get back to the factory, or is that another home they will need to abandon? Sonia says, I think they should just let the factory go. It's a good location and all that, but it's not worth fighting Logan for. Salazar's warehouse has a lot of supplies and is also secure. I think they could use that as a base for a community, or at least a place to get the supplies to build a community. I feel like it would be taking the story backwards at this point to go back to the factory. Sarah says, I think the group can definitely get back to the factory since I know they don't give up easily. I think they have spent a lot of time trying to find a new base in the past, so I would hope they can still call the factory home. Jeffrey says, I think the group will get back to the factory eventually, but I don't think they will be able to reclaim it from Logan's crew. That honestly doesn't even seem like a battle worth fighting, but we may see them try to strike up some sort of deal. If it were up to me, the group would be on the road to Virginia, but I understand their desire to stay at the factory. Renee says, I think the factory is the best place for them since it's set up and has plenty of room, but if I remember correctly, they have Logan and his crew to contend with. Ethan says, it would be a bit strange if they never got back to the factory. We haven't seen much of Logan, and I think he will play a big part going forward. The factory was quite an interesting location, and it's a shame we haven't seen it or explored it much. And Sarah L. says, certainly I believe that we will make it back to the factory. They will. Logan doesn't seem like a true villain to me, more of a selfish person looking out for him and his people. I believe the group may try to see if they can all live there together. If that fails, maybe they can make Daniel's place their home. Well, we kind of know how all that ended. And what we don't know yet is what might become of the factory with Logan and half of his crew gone. So that could possibly change the whole thing in a brand new way that's just now come up. We will see about that. But I'm retiring that article and Preacher, and now we're back. So I'll see you guys at the end. Okay, guys, bring in those final scores. Joan and I are doing the same thing. I'm ending on my 5-5, and she's ending on her 5-2-5. This show has just been strongly adequate. It is a vehicle for some information to pass by. Joan has added, I may be biased against the Ginny actress, though. I recently watched season one of Jessica Jones on Netflix, and I can't seem to help seeing her as the annoying neighbor she played on that show. I haven't seen that show yet. I was very impressed at Daniel's falsetto. That was Marvy. I don't know if that was actually Reuben Blade singing. It would be even better if it was. Jonah said, starting to think Morgan may have missed his chance with the girl this time, and she agrees on Daniel's voice. These characters are all coming off as so weak now, more self-pitying than reflective. If this were the original series, they would likely be dead by now. And Jonah's ending on 5-2-5. Okay. Okay, I don't have any fresh articles that I was in the middle of. We are at a nice, neat stopping point. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up for this week. Don't forget, next weekend, the 22nd, we have episode number 68, or season 5, episode 15, which is Channel 5. And then we have one more after that, which will be the season finale. So hopefully you guys can join us. We'd very much appreciate it. Thank you, Joan, for helping me. Thank you, Roger, for stopping by. Always a pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you guys next week. Have a good evening. Thanks for joining us.